welcome you this morning. Let me just talk our way through the announcements. We have a couple that we need to add. A couple regarding the evening service tonight. Among other things, as part of the service, Michael Ellenberger will be giving us a report on his last year down at A&M, Texas A&M, with the Navigators, and he'll be bringing us a report on that ministry and perhaps a little bit on his plans for the coming year. So that will be part of the evening service tonight, and trust that you'll come and find out that information. The purpose of these reports is not just to satisfy curiosity, but to give us information so that we can pray more intelligently and accurately, more definitely regarding some of these ministries. And then after the evening service, there'll be a missions committee meeting. Trust that if you're on the committee, we ask that you come. If you would like to find out more about the working of the missions program, you're invited to come and sit in and join with us in that work. I am forbidden in this announcement to say a brief meeting, a short meeting. Language fails me at this point. So just there'll be a missions committee meeting, and trust that you can be there. I believe the announcement about the volunteers, the immediate need for more people to fill in gaps in a Sunday night cooking schedule, I think that's been filled. But that wouldn't stop you from getting together another couple to work with you and to sign on for another Sunday. So the need has been met, I believe, but at the same time, you're always welcome to talk to Janet and just stretch out the schedule a little bit, and we would appreciate that as well. On the back of the bulletin, there's an announcement about Good News Club. And if you're interested, last year they had this club once a week at Westwood Elementary School, just down the road here a little bit. I'm not quite sure what all the plans for this year are, but you'll be meeting. Why don't you just plan a meeting up here right after the morning service and talk to Linda about that, see where you might fit in. But it was good ministry last year, and if you're interested in helping out in any way at all, just plan on up here right after the morning service. Jeff and Lisa Stone will be here in the area. They'll be specifically here either this Wednesday or Thursday night, and be in the area for the next several weeks till the end of the month. There is a need for housing for them. If we can help with that, they would appreciate it. If you can take them for part of the time, if you can take them for all of the time through the end of the August, you just might see me. We'll see that Jeff's going to call me, or he'll wait till he gets here and find out what we could work out. But we'll be seeing them off and on. They'll be using this as sort of a base, and then they have other shorter trips to make in visiting other churches and supporters and stuff. But they will be here this middle of this week and in the general area for the rest of the month. And if you can help with the housing for either part of that time, or maybe somebody could take them for the whole time, see me and we'll get that going. And then one last announcement on the hall. In the bulletin board, there's a sign-up sheet for those of you who want to play co-ed softball. You may not have known you wanted to play that, but if this awakens in you a burning desire to do this, then you can sign up. And if you have questions about this, it's a city league kind of thing through the youth center. And if you have questions about it, you can talk to Dale Gupton or Ben Barthelemy. They're sort of the organizers of this thing. And the sign-up sheet back there, but talk to these guys about it if you're at all interested, and good luck. One of the advantages of getting old and feeble is that you have a built-in excuse to say, no, not this year, you know. So we're glad for that. We are glad you're here. Today's always a special day to just gather as God's people on the first day of the week. And we are reminded of that every Sunday, that we are people of the resurrection. But first Sunday of the month is an extra special day as we gather together to remember the death of our Lord in our communion service, and that Steve will be leading us in just a little bit on that part. But we trust the service will be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you and honoring to the Lord. And so we'll ask Chris to come and lead us in our service.
Good morning. If you'll stand and take your hymnals, we're going to start this morning with number 262. It's a familiar hymn, Holy, 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 number 262.
Would you bow with me in prayer as we begin this part of our service? Our God, our Heavenly Father, you are holy. Holy is your name. And you are holy, and we stand before you as a people who have at one time incited your wrath. We were a people at one time who stood before your judgment, had no hope, helpless. And yet you exhibited your mercy. You exhibited your great love and gave us your Son. He became for us a propitiation, satisfaction for that wrath. And now we can come before you and we can call you our Father. We thank you, Father, that even in this part of the service, as we think about and reflect upon the cross and your Son, may it lead us to hearts filled with joy, with gratitude, with humility. Father, we recognize that there's not one of us here who sits worthy of this exceeding great mercy. Father, help us to remember what we have to be grateful for. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we invite each of you to participate with us in this part of the service, communion service. If you're a visitor here and you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is available to you, and we ask you to participate with us. But if you're here today and you don't understand what it's all about, doesn't make sense to you, you're just not sure, we just encourage you to let these elements, the crackers and the juice, to pass by and think about some of the things that are said this morning. If you were to come to my house, maybe my office, you'll see on the wall pictures. I have pictures of my wife and my children and family. And what those pictures do, a couple of things. First of all, it reminds me of people, family, parents, whatever. They don't inform me. I know all about who those people are, and I remember the situations and circumstances why they were taken. But the pictures do help me to remember, help me remind me of those situations. And it's intended to invoke, at least within me, those pictures. They wouldn't mean anything to you, really, but invoke within me emotion. Times of great joy that I shared with family. For instance, on our dresser, we have a picture of Doris and I sitting on a rock beside a stream in Montana, and it just evokes great memories of a time that our family was out on vacation. But also pictures help us to remember with anxiousness times when we can be together again. If family's away, children at school, can think about, well, won't it be nice to be back with them? So pictures do a lot for us. Well, in the communion service, we have pictures. Pictures to help us to remember, but also pictures that are intended to evoke certain emotions and interests in us. And communion service is a lot like a picture. We have crackers or bread, and we have juice. And those elements, if you will, they help us to remember an event, a situation, a time. And as a believer, I'm not necessarily informing you, but what I'm doing is trying to remind you of a situation and a time that took place. And each of these elements as well are intended to evoke emotions within us at the memory of the death of Jesus Christ. We think and we remember what Jesus Christ did and his love for us in willingly going to the cross. And what that ought to do is fill you with joy, fill you with gladness, fill you with humility, whatever other emotion goes on with the fact that I didn't deserve this. Nothing that I did would make me acceptable in God's sight. It's only through the cross that we find acceptance by God. Well, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus takes a situation, a time in the nation of Israel, the Passover Supper, where they were to remember, they were to think back at God's salvation, God's protection from for that nation during the Exodus period and the establishment of a Passover. And it's a ceremony that we partake together as believers, and it helps us to remember a time that took place so long ago, give us memory. And Luke 22 is that passage that I want to look at, and it says in Luke 22, and beginning in verse 14, "And when the hour came, he reclined," that is, Jesus reclined at the table, "and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I'll not eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" He earnestly desired to eat this meal with them because it reminded them, and Jesus was giving, reminded them of salvation, but he was giving a new emphasis, a new picture in their mind, and they would see it very soon of he as Jesus, as the Son of God, pure and righteous and holy, becoming now not, there wouldn't be a lamb offered anymore, but he as the Passover Lamb of God, taking away sin forever and for all time. So it was intended to give them the picture not only of a Passover, but for us, it's a reminder he actually died. He died. He died in our stead. It shows the Lord's death. It's a picture of the Lord's death. And first of all, it says in verse 19, "And he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you.'" The book of Hebrews makes a comment, "By God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." The body of Jesus Christ once and for all. No longer would there be lambs, goats offered, but his body broken. No more sacrifice for your sins. No other option is available to you but that which is provided through the death, through the body that was broken on the cross for all time. And we remember by taking this bread of his body that was given. Secondly, he goes on to say in verse 20, "And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, 'This cup that's poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Jesus said, in this cup, with this juice that's symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ, he tells us, the writer of Hebrews tells us, that our great high priest, when he had appeared on earth through his death, he entered into the very presence of God and offered the blood. No, and not offering the blood of bulls and goats, but as a priest he entered the temple, the holy place, to offer his blood for the sins of people. He secured for us, therefore, Hebrews says, an eternal redemption. Do you have any more reason to be joyful, to have the emotion of hope, than that? That blood provided your eternal redemption. No other hope. No other way, the eternal redemption. So as Christians, we come this morning, we have reverence, we have awe, we have amazement, every other emotion maybe, because that shed blood secured an eternal redemption. It allowed us to be accepted. You are here today. If you are a believer, you are accepted in the Beloved. And it's based upon what we remember today. Based upon what these pictures are intended to remind us of. And third, communion reminds us as well that one day we'll be with our Savior again. He said, "I won't take it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." says in 1 Corinthians that when we take of this, it's a reminder. It's a reminder that we have a blessed hope, that He is coming again. That He is coming again for us. We call it a blessed hope for who are believers. But as well, if you're here today and you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, His coming will be a dread. For He'll come as a judge. He will come and He will exercise the vengeance of God on humanity. So we have joy. We have encouragement that comes to us. But the thought is that Jesus Christ will come again, and it will be a time that's fearful as well. And so whatever, wherever you're at this morning, as you sit here this morning, think about these pictures and what they signify and what they point to. They're for remembering. And maybe today, and let me just say it again, you're here and you can't look on these pictures with any kind of remembrance. They don't mean anything to you. Maybe you haven't come to Jesus Christ to be cleansed from sin. And maybe you're not even sure what I'm talking about. Well, please let these elements go by, but also just challenge you and encourage you to think about Jesus Christ. It's a hope, it's an encouragement, it's a blessing for us, but also it's a reminder of a coming wrath. Would the men come forward that I asked to help, please?
Lord, as we come this morning, we recognize our unworthiness, but we thank You nevertheless for the giving of Yourself, the brokenness of Your body on the cross, that You might provide the way of eternal salvation and forgiveness for each one of us. Lord, thank You for Your love for us now, in Jesus' name.
Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, said, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to them, and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Him.'" Let's take in remembrance of Him.
By this cup and what it represents. And we thank You for that cup which You partook of and for us. Father, we're thankful and we look forward with much anticipation of what is to come and being reunited, being united with You. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together.
We have the privilege today of not only remembering Christ's death, but also his resurrection. So we want to read about that first with number 214 and then sing. I just encourage you to sing joyfully, "Up from the Grave He Arose," right after the reading number 216. So if you'll stand, and we'll read together 214 and then flip the page, and we'll sing all the verses of 216 right afterwards. I'll start and then you respond. "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said.
He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah."
Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians. Ron is going to read for us today.
We'll be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Lord, today grant unto us this grace that we might really have a view of the eternal, that it would not be blocked by those things which are temporal. Lord, for those here under the burden of distress, help them to remember that you have not forsaken them, but that, as the apostle said, we are not cast down, but we will be preserved. Thank you for this mercy and this grace that we have received, and for the ministry you've given each one of us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Test our thoughts and our actions. majestic love and authority, words of power that will never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Take your hymnals again. Turn to number 224 and stand as we sing again about the resurrection and its effect in our lives. Jesus lives and so shall I. It's number 224.
And his kingdom still remains.
dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time and ask that you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can sing that Jesus is our hope and trust. Even as we sing that song and we hear the words that Ron read for us from 2 Corinthians, I pray that you would speak to us through these words, that our hope and trust would be in Jesus Christ. Pray that today we might get just a bit more of a glimpse of what that means, to trust in Him. We thank you that we have a Savior who died for us. We thank you that we have a Savior who was raised from the dead and who lives forever. I pray that you would give us this perspective even as we live here. Father, you know the hearts, you know the minds, you know the people that are here today. You know the strains and the struggles, the distresses perhaps even that some of us are in. Encourage us with your word, that we may leave here rejoicing as your people. So we just ask that you would bless and you would teach, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Last week out of John chapter 20, we talked about the resurrection. And today and next Sunday, I want to just use a couple of different passages to talk about the resurrection, not from the historical sense, and we don't minimize that he really did rise from the dead, and that was last week. We talked about that. But I want to talk about a couple of the ramifications of it. What does it mean to us to say, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? And today, in perhaps a very positive way, and next week maybe in a little bit of a negative way, but there are some things that change the way we live, or should change the way we live. It gives us a perspective on life, gives us an enablement on life by believing in the resurrection. And we just want to touch them really briefly today and next week. Pick the passage in the first part of the first chapter of 1 Peter, because Peter is writing to a group of people like we are. People who need to see very clearly life. People who need to understand what's happening to us. How can this be happening? And what does it mean? And I need to see some things because otherwise life is tough. I need to see who I am clearly in light of this world. And I need to see what comes next and what life is all about and how did I get here and what's happening. And I need to see these things. Because if I don't, or if you don't, or if people don't, then life actually becomes unbearable. If all we have is this life, then as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we are of all people most miserable. See? Because we have put our hope and trust in something that has no meaning to us. And life becomes unbearable because as we look at it from the wrong perspective, it only gets worse. Now, some of you young kids won't understand this, but this applies whether you're 16 or you're 66 or whatever, see. Life does not get any better for anyone here in this room. It only gets worse. We get older, and that's not generally a joyous occasion. We seem to have kind of a plateau in the middle young and in the Middle Ages, and you know, life is just a bowl of cherries, you know, kind of deal. And we're strong and healthy and active, and everything's coming up roses. And then you get to be, you know, and we get older, and some of us get sick. And some of us get sick and get the word from a doctor that our sickness is terminal. Now, we forget the fact that we're all terminal, but it becomes very, very focused when the doctor says, you have this, and it's terminal. See? And some of us go through death of loved ones, and that's terminal. See? And some of us get people's actions against us and circumstances, and it just, life just is that way, see. And if we're not focused rightly in our life, then we abandon our faith. Now, we won't say the words that I don't believe anymore, but we abandon our faith. We start saying, what can I do to solve this? What can I do? Or what should the government do? And what, I mean, we panic to clear up this unbearableness and this difficulty and these problems that just keep getting worse and worse and worse as we go along. And we need something that gives reality to our life today, 2009. And I think Peter at least gives us a perspective. He starts us out, and this is nothing new. We went through this about 3.5 years ago, if you remember. Starts by defining who we are. And we, as Christians, need to be careful that we never forget this definition. We are aliens. We are aliens. We are strangers. We are pilgrims. We are not at home in Northwest Arkansas. Whatever else, this is not my home. We are living in a place that is not our own. We don't have citizenship here, and I don't care what flag you pledge allegiance to, you have no citizenship here. You have no rights and privileges here, see. That's the definition we need to keep in our mind. Because if we forget that, then we say, what's happening to me? But if we remember that, we say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. See, and inside, when I live that way, inside my heart, and it, maybe it's advancing age, and maybe it's just a bad night's sleep. I don't know, but my heart increasingly says, "See, I'm not comfortable here anymore. See, I don't fit in. See, this is not home." And I start saying, what's going on here? What if this is all true that I just said and this is not my place, then what do I have to live for? See? How do I go on day by day by day by day? Now, you put your circumstances in that definition. I put mine in that definition. Don't think about me. I won't think about you. But you put your life in that definition. That's biblical. See? And by the way, the world agrees with that definition, and sooner or later, it starts treating me on that basis, biblically. See, I don't fit in, and so they treat me that way. See, and so then there's this added pressure, not just my own inside, my own strangeness, but then they start treating me that way. See, and what keeps me going on faithfully? What keeps me following the Lord day by day by day? See, that's important. Peter starts out, as he gets to tell us that, by telling me who I am. And it's interesting that when he starts talking about me, he doesn't start talking about me. He starts talking about God. He says, I want you to know who you are. Blessed be God. See, blessed be God. And he starts by giving me a perspective that whatever I am here And whatever my life is here, it's by an act of the triune God. See, I am not a happening. See, I am a result of an act of God. And it's amazing that Peter starts out that way. When I think of, what am I doing here? He says, you're an act of God that put you here. See? Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. And by the way, don't argue with these terms. It's a blessing, not a curse. And we'll, you can talk to me if you don't like them, but talk to Peter when you see him. Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. See? Foreknowledge of God is a concept where God sets up a relationship. It's not just knowing something's going to happen. It's setting up a relationship. It's an active word, see. And you can read Ephesians 1 and you can read Romans 8 and get some more details. But here Peter just says, hey, you, I am chosen. See, I'm an act of God, a conscious act of God. He said, John, see, he said, and he set me apart by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. See, no wonder I don't feel at home here. No wonder this is not my life. I've been set apart by the Spirit. See, the wonder would be that I feel at home here. The wonder would be that this is really pretty good. And, you know, as the bumper stickers used to say till they changed the slogan, we've got it good in Springdale, right? That's the wonder that a Christian could say that. Because we've been set apart, been chosen by God, we've set apart by the Holy Spirit, and we have a life of obedience on Jesus Christ, sprinkled with his blood, cleansed and set apart to a different life, see. And that's who I am, and I have to understand that. Otherwise I can't live as a Christian. Because nothing else makes sense. But if I understand that here in Springdale, see, that's who I am, a chosen, set apart, obedient alien. See, but that's what God's made me. See. So when the heaviness in Northwest Arkansas, and I'll only talk about here, but you put it anywhere in the world you want. But when the heaviness comes, when the difficulty comes, when the pressure comes, and the hurt, and the restlessness, and what is going on here in the circumstances of life just weigh heavily on us, see. I, as a chosen alien, have to say, okay, how do I live? And it's not with a little slogan that says, well, I'm just happy in Jesus, because happy doesn't hack it most of the days. And I know for you too, see. Happy is not a real good word. It's just kind of a, anyway. What keeps us going, if we understand who we are in this world, and that sets up a life, and that life is difficult, and never will get any easier, see, only get worse. What keeps us going is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we paid so much attention to it last week, that he really did rise from the dead. And today, see, that's what keeps me going. Peter says, now talk about salvation. Most of us would say, and I would do that too under at least certain circumstances, I've been saved from my sins. See? Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sins. And that's true, and I don't want to minimize that at all. But that's not what Peter says, see, at least not here. See. He says, blessed be God, really, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. when I was saved by faith in Jesus Christ who died for my sins, His body, His blood, paid the penalty for sins, and I am saved. See? And He gave me life, and that's a happening by God. And God caused me, in His mercy, He saw me. It's like the hymn, Samuel Medley's hymn. And we don't have it in our book, but we really need to get it. He saw me ruined by the fall and loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate, His loving kindness, oh so great, His mercy, see. In His great mercy, God looked at me and saw me in my pitiableness, saw me just living in life. And He saved me, and He made me alive, gave me life from the dead, see. And He gave me a hope. He gave me a living hope, a hope that I live on day by day by day. And that's why I said, some of you 10-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 25-year-olds don't understand hope. But some of us 68-year-olds, that's what we cling to, see. We look at life and we say, I have a hope. We don't look at life and say, this is great. Hope it never changes, see. We've been born again to a living hope. And as Christians, our focus now in living here is on our hope, our fixed, certain, assured, confident expectation of what's coming. See? Living hope based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that the resurrection means everything. If you just read that whole passage, and it's just resurrection, 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 and the resurrection means everything. Without it, there's nothing. But with it, there's everything, see. And Peter says that's what we've been saved to. Not life down here, but a living hope based on the fact that Christ was raised from the dead gives me a living hope. And that hope says, I have an inheritance coming in. And again, this is not new. This is just review, but I hope it, you know. I have an inheritance coming. Isn't it interesting? We talk about heaven in terms of walking on the streets of gold, and we have a mansion just over the hilltop, and who we're going to see and what we're going to say and what we're going to do. And Peter says, you've been born so that you can receive an inheritance. Doesn't talk about streets of gold, pearly gates. Doesn't say any of that. He says, you have something coming to you. Somewhere in heaven, however you want to visualize it, somewhere in their heaven, there is a box called John's inheritance. Do not open. See? Don't touch. It's John's. Right? That's what it says. I have an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. I don't have a portfolio, right? Because that's perishable. And that fades. And that's defiled. See? I have an imperishable inheritance. I don't know what it is. But it's going to be something, isn't it? It's going to be something. Because that's what's held out for me. You have been born again to a living hope. You've been brought to life by the mercy of God on the basis of Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ. You've been brought to life to an inheritance. See? And it's reserved in heaven for me, and I'm going to get there because verse 8 says, or verse 5 says, God's going to make sure I get there. See? It doesn't matter the life here. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what's against me or what's for me or good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter. God is reserving or securing me for that inheritance because He's protecting me. See? And all these circumstances, you know, as we had talked about in our Sunday school class, I go to bed at night and sleep, see? Because God's protecting me for that. And verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice. In this you greatly rejoice. What keeps me going, such as it is, what keeps you going, what keeps us going when everything dumps on us? See, it isn't that they turn around, it's that I have a hope. And I rejoice in that, see, regardless of this. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hope that's based on that, see, makes life miserable. Livable, not miserable at all. Livable right now. And this is not just pie in the sky kind of stuff. You know, oh yeah, just imagine it doesn't hurt. Oh yeah, imagine it's not difficult. Oh yeah, imagine it's, you know. That's not pie in the sky at all. It's an inheritance reserved for me in heaven, in the sky, if you will. See, that's what it is. And it's that look, it's that perspective that we need to develop, and it's that perspective that we need to get from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, I live today in hope that's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the day's coming, verse 7 says. We're skipping a lot, but the day is coming when Jesus Christ will be revealed, and then my life, you know, coming through this stuff, see, will be to praise and glory and honor. And whether that's to the Lord's praise and glory and honor, or maybe even to my praise and glory and honor. That's what's going to happen. Colossians says, Paul says in Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then will we also appear with him in glory. See? That day is coming. That's what I've been saved to. That's what I've been born again to. See? And so when we say, hey, I live through this, I don't live for this, and I don't live because of this, see, I just live. But my life is there, and my focus is there, and my hope is there, my sure expectation of that is there. See? And it's going to be mine. Referenced the poem a couple years ago. I read it every now and then. By Henry Vaughan, wrote it in the 1600s, back when they knew how to write. My soul, there is a country far beyond the stars, where stands a winged sentry all skillful in the wars. There, above noise and danger, sweet peace sits crowned with smiles, and one born in a manger commands the beauteous files. He is thy gracious friend, and O my soul, awake, did in pure love descend to die here for thy sake. If thou canst get there, but thither, there grows the flower of peace, the rose that cannot wither, thy fortress and thy ease. Leave then thy foolish ranges, for none can thee secure, but one who never changes, thy God, thy life, thy cure. We do have a country, and that's what, and it's not here, and that's what keeps us going. And all I would say to you today is you need to think through this, and if this is your country, then you're in trouble. If this is your life, if this is my life, then we are in trouble. See? But if we understand what we've been born again to, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance undefiled and unfading and not passing away, a living hope, then we'll make it. See? Then we can take this. We don't crack. We don't lose our faith. We don't, as Ron read, we don't despair. We may be cast down, but we don't despair because we do have a country. And so even as Steve reminded us that this evokes emotions of praise and honor, I would remind you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ ought to evoke in you praise and honor and glory, because that's where your hope is. And I trust you'll think about that this week. I know you get busy, but don't forget. Don't get so busy here that you forget where you really live. And don't get so busy anticipating tomorrow that you forget what you really need to be anticipating. And don't get so satisfied down here that you forget what you really rejoice in. We are people of the resurrection, and that's our living hope. Let's pray. Father, cause us to see clearly so we can rejoice in our living hope. You have laid it out before us so plainly that that's our focus. We get so stuck down here, so wrapped up in things here, as though this were life. Help us to realize we are just putting in time here, but we live there. That we do have a country, a God, our all, our cure. So may we rejoice in our hope today. In your name, amen. Take your hymnal, please. Excuse me. Sing a song of the future. Sing a song of our hope. Some of you know I love this one and thought you could sing it with me. When we think about a living hope to obtain an inheritance, number 538. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear, wipe my weeping eyes. Let cares like a wild deluge come and storms of sorrow fall. May I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. It's a good song of our hope. Let's stand. We'll sing all three verses of 538. I trust it's your song because it's your hope as well. And then, Steve, would you come, please?
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're reminded that as people of faith, we look forward to a city whose builder and maker is you. Father, forgive us for planting our feet too firmly here. And give us a perspective, give us a focus upon our real hope, where our real blessing and encouragement comes. And Father, help us to live as if today were the last day. Help us to live in such a way as we would adorn the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So Father, remind us afresh of the meaning of your death, but also our hope. Thank you again for this day and the encouragement that comes to us. In Jesus' name, amen.